Welcome to Ministry Minutes. This is Dr. Michael A. Milton, your host, shepherding shepherds who will shepherd the flock. Welcome. We're going to be looking at the role of the shepherd, the nature of the shepherd, and his work. When I say shepherd, of course, I'm referring to pastor. The words shepherd, pastor, are the same in the New Testament and in the Old Testament. The simile is quite clear, as we see from one of our scriptural vector points in Isaiah 40. Speaking of Jesus, the Messiah to come, Isaiah says he will be like a shepherd, a simile. And so by looking at these vectors, scriptural placeholders in Isaiah 40, in John 10, in John 21, as well as in 1 Peter, and by the way, these are only a few of the many passages dealing with shepherd. We could learn an extraordinary amount by going to any one of them, but I want to set these lines in the sea of questioning and understanding about the role of pastors to see if together we can find a simple response to the question, what is a pastor? From Isaiah chapter 40, verses 10 and 11. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those who are with young. The Gospel according to John, chapter 10, and beginning with verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. John chapter 21, verses 15 through 19, is the passage about the restoration of Peter. It is also the mandate to shepherd the flock. Verse 17, he said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord will endure forever. From 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. The elders who are among you I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. So first of all, we answer the question, what is a pastor, by saying a pastor is a shepherd. Isaiah 40, verse 11, he will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. So everything that we want to know about the work of a pastor, or the nature of a pastor, we learn from a shepherd. Note that a shepherd is humble. A shepherd is not actually at the top of the vocational, occupational food chain. It's menial work. It's working for, in our case, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the chief shepherd. It is also serving the sheep, serving others. Paul tells Timothy that he is to conduct his pastoral ministry for the sake of the elect. I always imagined that I could do ministry for the sake of the glory of God, for the sake of the love of Christ Jesus, for the sake of the power of the Holy Spirit at work within us. But I didn't really give thought to the fact that we do it for the sake of the elect. But many years ago, I learned that is exactly how we must pastor. For a pastor is but a shepherd. Secondly, when we look at John 10, in fact, the entire chapter is just replete with teaching about Jesus, the Good Shepherd. But we learn that a pastor is an under-shepherd to the Good Shepherd. We also learn that the pastor in that role is to be shepherding by love, by gentleness, by tenderness, by giving one's life away, because Jesus said that he's not a hireling. He hasn't been hired to do this job. When the wolf comes, the hireling runs because he doesn't own the sheep. But Jesus says, these sheep are mine. They're given to me by the Father before the foundation of the world. And a good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. So if we want to look at the nature and work of the pastor, in John 10, we have to say that it is, again, reflective of the one good shepherd, but the reflection should imitate the real. And that means there should be shepherding by way of compassion and gentleness and identifying with the sheep so much that one would give one's life for them. More about that as we continue to move through answering the question, what is a pastor? But a pastor is a shepherd. A pastor is a shepherd like Jesus. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, we learn that a pastor is not only a shepherd, not only a shepherd like Jesus, but is a shepherd whose life is lived under the ruling motif of the life and ministry of Jesus. I know that's a lot of words. Let's just say this. A shepherd, a pastor is a shepherd whose life is patterned after the shepherding life of Jesus. Peter says that we are to partake in this ministry, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering, but being examples. So here's what I want to say. If one expects to go into the ministry and be exempt from the pains and trials that came upon the good shepherd, the chief shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ, one is not only mistaken, one should stop and not go forward. Because the truth is, you will live according to the ruling motif of the shepherding ministry of Jesus. Jesus was opposed from without. Jesus was betrayed from within. Any pastor who has been in the ministry for any amount of time will assure you that we live according to the motif, the pattern of Jesus. Not only are we opposed, but we can be betrayed, and mostly are going to experience that at some time in our ministries. On the other hand, we love, we give, and we minister out of love for Christ and out of His desire to reach the lost and to nurture and strengthen the lambs in the fold. And so we're reminded of Augustine's statement, love God and do what you will. In this case, love God and go, and you will endure and face the challenges. And it's a lot easier saying that with me sitting here speaking into a microphone than living it in a parish ministry. But it is so that love is stronger than opposition and even betrayal. In fact, betrayal hurts because of love, doesn't it? But Christ gives more grace, and that is our hope. Christ was victorious, and the things that came against Him became the very things that advanced Him, so that the cross, an instrument of shame, became the sign of salvation. And so it is with His preachers, with those who follow Him in the shepherding ministry. So it will be for you. Now, one final thought. For the D. James Kennedy Institute of Reformed Leadership, this is Dr. Michael A. Milton, hoping you'll join us again next time on Ministry Minutes. The Lord bless you and keep you.